You might want to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Is Jesus the Messiah? Of course, we know the answer to that question, but it makes for an interesting title. And we're going to pursue that subject and prove that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the declaration of Peter, as we noted earlier this morning, thou art the Christ. Help us to understand what that means and how significant it is for all of us. Guide us through the study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a Messiah? The English word Messiah appears only twice in Scripture. Here in Daniel chapter 9, once in verse 25, in the middle of the verse, where it says to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now, it actually is the Hebrew word. Might be pronounced something like Mashiach, but it is kind of a transliteration from Hebrew. But when it's translated in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word itself appears 39 times. 37 of those times it is translated anointed. The word Messiah has become, in a generic sense today, to mean someone who is a professed or accepted leader of some hope or cause. But in its real usage, in its biblical sense, it refers to the expected king and deliverer. There were anointed ones, like David the king, or Cyrus was anointed for a special purpose, and the priests, Aaron and his sons, were anointed for special tasks. But then there was the anointed one. The anointed one who was set apart for the immense task of bearing the sins of all mankind and delivering us from death and hell. Now, the Messiah had a special designation for the nation of Israel, but it also has a general application to all mankind. The Messiah was promised from the beginning. You'll recall in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, right after Adam and Eve had sinned, that God said to them, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that was indeed a prophecy of the coming of Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jacob prophesied in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 when he was giving his blessing to his son Judah, where he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Again, a reference to the Messiah. The Messiah was promised in the law, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Maybe you want to look there. There's a few verses to look at. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, where the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And of course, when Jesus came, he certainly did speak the words of his Father. The Messiah was prophesied in the Psalms. Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. And in Psalm 2, verse 6, God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And the Messiah was promised in the prophets. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That sounds like a familiar event in the life of Jesus, doesn't it? Jeremiah chapter 23, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And of course, in Daniel, the two references to the Messiah. The Messiah was to have two functions. Unfortunately, it appears that by the time Jesus came, too many of the Jews did not understand that. They were looking more for merely a man who would deliver Israel from the oppression of Rome. And I'm not sure so many people in that day were thinking of the Messiah as a spiritual deliverer from sin, but a political hero instead. But the Messiah was to have a dual role and responsibility. On the one hand, he would become a ruling priest king. Psalm 110 and verse 4 is that reference where it says, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and we know in the book of Hebrews it expands upon that. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah is not too difficult to find. It's next to the last book of the Old Testament and has 14 chapters. And if we go to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, referred to previously in other prophets. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And so king and priest. But then, as we read just a few moments ago, in Isaiah chapter 53, we are told that this same priest king would have the responsibility of being a suffering servant and savior. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Suffering Savior. On the one hand, if someone predicts something in a general way and then it comes to pass, it might seem like a genuine prophecy. For example, if I were to say, if I were to prophesy, that it's going to snow in the second week of January, what's the possibility that that will come to pass? And then it comes to pass, and I could say, well, I'm a prophet. See, what I said comes, but that's kind of general, isn't it? Suppose I were to say that it's going to snow 3.4 inches on January 12th between the hours of 9 a.m. and noon. What's the probability of that coming to pass? I hope it doesn't, because that would be scary, wouldn't it? The more detail you add to prophecy, the less likely it comes to pass by chance. Desperate atheists and other unbelievers try to explain away Jesus as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy by saying that it is merely coincidental that things that took place in his life correspond to things that are prophesied in the Old Testament. There are 353 prophecies concerning the Messiah in the Old Testament. What is the probability that one person by chance would fulfill 353 prophecies? Let's go to the mathematicians. And suppose there are only 50 prophecies. Mathematicians tell us the probability of chance fulfillment of all 50 prophecies would be 1 in 1.1 quadrillion. Not million or billion or even trillion, 1.1 quadrillion. And then they say, add only two more prophecies that fix the exact time and the exact place at which these prophecies must happen. And the immense improbability that one person could fulfill all of these prophecies by chance is incalculable. We couldn't understand a number like that. So what is the probability that Jesus fulfilled 353 Old Testament prophecies by chance? It's impossible. But it wasn't a chance thing. It was a plan. Go to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Let's look at the two prophecies that give the exact place and the timetable. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Bethlehem. Out of Bethlehem is going to come the one who shall rule in Israel. Out of Bethlehem, a place. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 3. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And in verse 6, they quote Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. That is confirmation in the New Testament that that verse of scripture in the Old Testament is a specific reference to the birthplace of the Messiah. So what happened? Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7, perhaps one of the most familiar Christmas passages of all. Many of us have memorized it, and some of you young people, I'm sure, can still remember it and quote it. It came to pass in those days, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, that there went out a decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. You see, Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth. Where is the child supposed to be born? Bethlehem. How are we going to get him there? We're going to have the ruler of the Roman Empire make a decree that everybody has to go to their hometown or their place of origin and register there. How many times has that happened in history? Not very often. In fact, this is the only time that I know of that such a decree was made. And so, verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And verse 6, and so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of being born in a very specific place. But what about the timing? Oh, we'll go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. We're going to be slightly handicapped because we're going to be dealing with some numbers. And normally when I deal with these numbers, I like to have visual aids. But I'll try to make this as simple as possible. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Verse 26, and after the 62 weeks shall be Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Here's what we have. A total of 70 weeks or 70 sevens are decreed upon the nation of Israel. Each seven is equivalent to 7 years. 70 times 7 is 490 years. This 490 years is divided into three sections. 7 years, 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 1 week. 49 years, 434 years, 7 years. At the end of 49 years, or 7 weeks, the city of Jerusalem would be rebuilt. After the next 434 years, Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself, a reference to the crucifixion. The last 7 years will be the tribulation period, which has not yet taken place. So we're dealing with a period of time of 483 years from the beginning point, which is stated in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem," the commandment by Cyrus, who was anointed to make this declaration, that people could leave, Jews could leave the Babylonian captivity and go back to the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the city. It is a historically recorded date. March 14th, 445 BC. We know exactly when this 490 years begins. Now, in Scripture, there is clear indication that prophetic years consist of 360 days, exactly 30 days in every month. Revelation chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, you have a reference to 42 months. In verse 3, the same time period is described as 1,260 days. You divide 1,260 by 42, you get exactly 30 days in every month. So if the prophetic year is 360 days, we multiply 483 years from the beginning of the declaration to rebuild Jerusalem. We start on March 14th, 445 BC, and we end on April the 6th, 32 AD, a reasonable date for the crucifixion. Which means for this person who's going to be crucified as an adult, he has to be born a certain number of years before in order to come of age. And that gives us the timing of the birth of Christ. Jesus fulfills that. In prophecy, the Messiah would be born of a woman. He would be a descendant of Abraham. He would be a descendant of Jacob's son, Judah. He would be a descendant of Jesse, a descendant of Judah. And he would be a descendant of Jesse's son, David. He would be born of a virgin. He would be called Emmanuel. Great persons would visit him. Through the rage of a jealous king, innocent children were to be slaughtered. He would be called out of Egypt. A messenger would prepare the way for him. His ministry would begin in Galilee. The Holy Spirit would be upon him. He would be a light to the Gentiles. He would perform miracles. He would open the eyes of the blind. He would teach in parables. He would speak the wisdom of God with authority. He would be humble and meek. He would be called God's son. He would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He would enter Jerusalem while riding on a donkey. He would be rejected. He would be despised. They would take counsel to put him to death. He would be betrayed by a friend. He was to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. He would be silent before his accusers. False witnesses would rise up against him. He was to be smitten on the cheek. He would be beaten and spat upon. He would be numbered with the transgressors. He would be stripped of his clothing. They would cast lots for his clothing. He would be hung on a tree. His hands and feet would be pierced. He would be mocked by people shaking their heads. His trust in God would be mocked. His friends would stand afar off. His suffering would include thirst. He would be given vinegar to drink. He would cry out to God. He would suffer for the sins of others. He would give his blood to redeem sinners. He would die for the sins of the world. Not a bone of his was to be broken. He would be buried in a wealthy man's tomb. His body would not see decay. He would be resurrected, and he would ascend to heaven, leading captivity captive. 50 prophecies in the Old Testament. Plus 2, the exact place and the time of his birth. And Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. Not by chance. It was a plan. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. Now notice, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. 9 times Matthew says in his gospel that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. It was intentional. Is Jesus the Messiah? Absolutely. Not by coincidence, by design. This is why we call him Jesus Christ. Jesus always refers, the name Jesus always refers to him in functioning in his human nature. Christ is his title as the anointed one, the Messiah. The Bible tells us, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, that someday, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We don't have to wait for that someday. We should bow our knees before him now and bow our hearts in gratefulness for everything he has done for us. He fulfilled all of those prophecies, not so that he could boast about it. He fulfilled all of those prophecies so that he could save us from our sins, deliver us from death and from an eternity in hell, and be our king and priest. Let us bow before him now with grateful hearts. Heavenly Father, it is before your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we bow. How wonderful. How amazing. You told all about it before he came. You prepared the way for understanding. We're saddened that so many in the day that he came were not prepared. And we are sorry that today so many are still unprepared to believe. But thank you for bringing us to faith. Thank you for Jesus as he walked here on earth and bore our sins on the cross and died for us. Thank you that he is the Christ, the risen and living Savior. We bow our hearts before Him and thank You, Father, for giving us such a wonderful gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.